Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm in Detroit at our How Business Can Measure the Impact and Return on Investment of Corporate Sustainability event that we're co-hosting with the Erb Institute. And I'm with Joe Arvai, Professor of Sustainable Enterprise and Director of the Erb Institute. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Ian. It's good to be here.
Let's reflect on some of the things we've been hearing today in the conference. What do you think are the biggest challenges for business to measure their impacts right now?
You know, I think there are a couple of challenges. One is, and it's kind of ironic, but there's no shortage of data out there, but there's a lot of noise in that data, and there's a lot of data that one can have access to. So I almost think that there's information overload from the standpoint of companies when it comes to measuring their impact. So I think that's one challenge. I think the other challenge that's big is that a lot of companies are still confusing impact and outcomes. So I think of outcomes as something that you would measure as sort of a benchmark, against a benchmark that is kind of a measure of incremental progress on a path to sustainability that you're on. So you're always sort of looking at how your outcomes are performing according to some prior benchmark. Impact to me is whether or not you're actually achieving your fundamental goals. By and large, organizations, large organizations and small ones, have a hard time measuring what it is they fundamentally want to achieve. I mean, obviously, profitability is a big one. But in the sustainability space, there's so much more to it. And I just think that it's not being defined well. And I'll say this, to not suggest that I'm kicking at business or government or large organizations, as individuals, we struggle with this very same thing. So it's not a surprise to me that this is happening at the larger scale.
I think you're right. Do you not think, though, that there is a real development in companies thinking, oh, why are we here? What's our reason for being?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the most positive thing to come out of the corporate sustainability movement is the exploration of organizational purpose. What is the company there to do? A lot of companies, certainly the very respected companies now, the Fortune 50, the Fortune 500, to some degree are taking a deeper inward look as to what their purpose is beyond profitability. I think some are taking enormous strides to actually leave profits on the table when other kinds of sustainability objectives are at stake. So I think these are massive steps forward. But nevertheless, I think every single one of those organizations could be better. And this gets back to your first question of, well, you know, is the data out there to help them? And the answer is yes and no.
Think about materiality, which would be something we covered earlier on. To what extent do you think there's still a disconnect for business between what they think is material compared to what actually is material for them?
That's a really interesting question. So I think organizations, large organizations that are populated by incredibly bright and talented people, I think there's a natural tendency there for them to maybe make some bold predictions about certainly what's important to them as an organization, speaking on behalf of a collective, but then also to make some predictions or some declarative statements about what ought to be important out there in the world, whether it's environment or society. So I think that right there, we have a problem that's related to one of the things that I studied in my lab, and that's sort of attributional biases. How do we think of ourselves in terms of being able to predict or explain what's important to others? And how good do we think we are at being able to explain our behavior or what's important to us? And those aren't without their challenges. So I think the big challenge out there is really in being a little bit too bold in assuming that you know what's important out there or even important within the organization. So I think a lot of insularity, going back to your question about materiality assessments, a lot of kind of groupthink around what's material, and in many cases, in my opinion anyway, not enough deeper exploration about not just what's material, but how we actually think about and go about sort of characterizing materiality.
And the risk is, of course, that companies, they don't want to find out what's material. Because you know, the really big challenges that we've been talking about, you know, well, that's not our problem. Is that something you see?
Absolutely. And you know, I hate to get kind of jargony with you, but I will anyway, because I am a professor. We talk about errors of commission and errors of omission. When it comes to individuals and groups, which include corporations, it's a lot more comfortable to make an error of omission. In other words, I made a mistake, or I didn't perform as well as I would have liked to have performed because I didn't have all the information at my fingertips. There's sort of a built-in get out of jail free card in there versus the more uncomfortable option, which is the error of commission. That, you know, I had all the information at my fingertips and it just led me down the wrong path. And usually the finger gets pointed at the people who are making the choices there. So I think it's something that you see in business with respect to how they make strategic decisions. And I think you're right. I think a lot of organizations would, all things being equal, I think they'll say that they want to know everything, but it gives them a little bit of extra autonomy if they don't.
One of the really big things in the last few years has been the development and rise of the Sustainable Development Goals. How big an impact do you think that the SDGs have had?
It's been important. I mean, I think, first of all, they came out after, I guess, a decade or so of the Millennium Development Goals, which I don't think many people really understood at all. So I think the rise of the SDGs is important because it's the first time a framework has come out that I think by and large people understand. So they see the SDGs, they see them divided across environmental, social, and economic priorities. And whether you're in business or in government or just an individual consumer or citizen, those resonate with you because those are things that we all profess to care about. We want economic security, we want environmental health, and we certainly want social well-being. So in that regard, I think they've been enormously impactful. I think they've also been enormously impactful from the standpoint of companies in the sustainable business perspective or from that perspective, because it's forced companies to acknowledge that there are these sort of three legs of the sustainability stool. And whereas some companies used to sort of claim greenness and environment, now those companies are recognizing social well-being and vice versa. So I think for those reasons, they've been really important.
And of course, businesses were involved in their development, which is the big difference between those, the SDGs and the Millennium Development Goals. That business involvement surely was key.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a great example of how having a wide range of stakeholders at the table, government, NGO, and business, can make a big difference in coming up with a framework that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people.
We've heard a lot about science-based targets as well the last day or so. What impact do you think that shift has been? I mean, is this using science-based targets, is this when finally you can get senior business management to really see, well, this is where we fit into the bigger picture. This is what we have to do to achieve the broader sustainable development picture that everyone talks about.
That's, I think, a very interesting question. And it's reminiscent to me of earlier dialogue we had about science-based decision-making. Who doesn't want to make decisions based on science? Of course, everybody wants to participate in that. Yet what we found there is that you could have the best science in the world, access to the best and most plentiful information, and still make really lousy decisions. And I think we're seeing the same thing with science-based targets. So don't get me wrong. I think science-based targets are important. I think they point the way or can point the way. I think the challenge there is that, and it goes back to your first question around how we define materiality. You know, it's that the targets themselves, though they may be based on science, may not be terribly relevant either to the decision context that we're dealing with or to the stakeholders that are important to us. So there's a real comfort in knowing that you have a science-based target and you can proceed with it. But without some really clear thinking ahead of how you set those targets, they could lead you down the same dark path as you might be on if you didn't have those targets to begin with.
So it's sort of a bit like the kind of certification debate, but taken over to the science-based target debate then, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. And I think at the end of the day, for me, it's not so much about science-based targets or materiality, because as I said, those things are all really critical. It's how those things are designed, implemented, and ultimately used. And the analogy that I like to give is if you look at any corporation, they'll have a massive budget devoted to marketing. They'll have a massive amount of talent in the marketing department, just as they'll have a massive budget and a massive amount of talent in the economics of their business, the division that deals with finance and economics. R&D and engineering, also huge budgets and really talented teams. And then how much effort do those same organizations devote to building capacity on the inside with respect to things like decision support, which encompasses how we do materiality well, how we come up with the appropriate targets, and then how we actually use that information in strategic decision making. And those budgets and those teams are tiny by comparison. Yet I think that's such an important aspect of where a company goes. I think that happens because people assume that we have expertise. And because we have expertise, we're going to be great decision makers. But there's a wealth of research out there that shows that's not
sure
the case.
What are the business initiatives that you're getting excited about right now? We talked about some of them already, but you know, what are the other ones that you think are really worth following?
I'm really excited by the businesses out there that are able to articulate decisions they've made based on trade-offs that either are acceptable or not acceptable to them. So I take an example in apparel like Patagonia, who as an organization, as a company, seems prepared to take stands on social issues. They seem prepared and they have demonstrated that they are prepared as a company to leave money on the table when it comes to some of the traditional markets that they've served in the past. And in making those kinds of choices, they've been able to articulate why they're not going into certain areas. So I think to the extent that that's happening in many companies now, certainly I think when you look at some of the larger electronics and software companies, the IT space, you're seeing that happen a little bit more. I'm looking for that to spill into other sectors of the economy and to other kinds of businesses. So that's one. And the other is organizations, companies that are addressing the challenge I mentioned a few minutes ago, which is that they're building capacity internally and decision support. And I think here we see that happening with larger firms that deal with engineering or utilities, where they recognize that decision support in terms of weighing the pros and cons of different courses of action are going to be really critical, either because they have to meet regulatory or statutory requirements, or because they want to invest wisely. You're seeing this in finance as well. Those very same tools that banks and engineering firms are using to make portfolio choices within the organization, those tools could be ported out to other sectors of the economy, other businesses, apparel, food and agriculture, you name it. So the fact that organizations, companies are doing that is exciting. The fact that others could do it if they want to is also exciting. And the fact that they're not yet doing it, I mean, is also really exciting because it means that people like you and people like me have something to do tomorrow.
Sure. It was really interesting earlier on. We had a case study on Mondelez's Cocoa Life program, and it was fascinating. It was really a specific case study, but there was so much people in the room who had nothing to do with the cocoa supply chain really were able to take a lot away from it and asking really interesting questions, engaging around how they can take the things that have been learned by Mondelez and their partners and apply them to their own business. So there's a lot of exciting stuff happening. Joe Avai, Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan and Director of the Urban Institute, thank you very much.
Ian, thank you, and glad to see you in Detroit. Come back
thank
soon.
You, thank you very much.